to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, just forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands, let's magnify his name and worship him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Just concentrate on him and worship him. Oh, just forget about yourself. Just concentrate on him and worship him. Oh, just forget about yourself. Just concentrate on him and worship. Christ our Lord. Just worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's stand. This is 151.
Oh, there are people almost everywhere. Their hearts are all aflame with that fire. It fell at Pentecost. It cleansed and it made them clean. Oh, it is burning now within my heart. Glory to your name. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Although these people may not learn and be nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and they're telling now both far and wide, his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. In the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Power for service came. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. It will keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And there are people almost everywhere. Hearts are all aflame with the fire. It fell at Pentecost. It cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my soul. Oh, glory to your name. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Why don't you turn and greet one another?
Seed, one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. The revelation of the Godhead, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. Amen. Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord together again this evening.
Amen.
Amen. Enjoyed the service this morning. Looking for more of what the Lord would have for us this evening.
Yes.
Amen. And good to be gathered together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And I just wanted to say we'd had prayer for my sister Debbie. She's not been feeling well, but good to have her back in the service with us this evening, feeling better. So praise the Lord for that. And want to continue to remember those families that are traveling. They'll be traveling back home later this week, so I want to remember them in prayer. Brother David and Sister Savannah Virgin, and also Brother Daniel and Sister Ashley and their children. So I want to remember those families in prayer. And then somebody had asked today, and I thought it was good and timely, to remember those that are trapped there in that cave from the Thai soccer team. You say, well, they probably don't believe like us. Well, that's okay. If it was our children that was trapped in something like that, we'd want somebody praying. So I think that's good. And so we want to remember them in prayer, that the Lord just continue to move on the scene. I believe they was able to get four of them rescued, but there's quite a few more of them that need rescuing, and God knows all about it. And thank God for His protecting power. Amen. That, you know, when it comes physically, spiritually, mentally, however it is that He's able to protect us and keep us, that doesn't mean that things won't go wrong sometimes, but we know that we have a source that we can go to. So we want to lift them up in prayer tonight. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests that you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Wade, would you come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Bow our heads. Father, it's just it delights our heart to be able to call You Father.
Amen.
Come before Your throne, Lord, to bring these petitions, Lord, because You told us to.
Yes.
And we appreciate it, Lord. We appreciate that. Where would we go if we didn't have You, Lord? And Father, they're just the various needs that were mentioned. I won't remember them all, but You do. You're mindful, Lord. You saw the uplifted hands. Lord, You know of a group of young people stuck in a cave. Lord, if You know what's going on with a sparrow, You care about them. And Father, that's where we need to be in our hearts, Lord. We need to have that love. We're told to have love for our enemies. Lord, these are people in desperate need, Father. Just help them, Lord. Father, the needs that were physical, Lord, there may be financial needs, I don't know, but You do. And we give them all to You, Lord, because You're a miracle. Just You do miracles, and on behalf of Your people, Lord, we stand back and marvel. Things that we think are so tangled up that can never be made right, and then we see Your hand of mercy on them, and they all come the way they should. And we're thankful, Lord. Now, Lord, the rest of the service, be with us, Lord. We're here to be with You. Speak to our hearts. Lord, walk the aisles. Give us what we have need of. Bless the pastor as he prepares, Lord, and that sermon, Lord, that it would be edifying to us, Lord, that we'd leave here better Christians, Lord, better able to serve You, better examples, Lord, in a world around us. We ask all these things in the name, above all names, name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have Brother Daryl Layton and his grandchildren, Xavier and Kaylee, have a special for us.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
walked many miles in these shoes, taken many roads that I oughtn't to. But he kept me safe in spite of me. And then one day he reached down his hand, he set my sights on the promised land. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Feeling lost and you don't know why, tripping, stumbling over your old life. Brother, I've got a story to tell you. One day our Lord Jesus Christ left his throne from on high, that you and I could live eternally.
Thank you, Brother Daryl, Sister Kaylee, and Brother Xavier. Well done. I think, I believe Brother Daryl wrote that, so lovely, lovely song. Great job. This time we're going to have Brother Will Andes come and sing for us. Glad to have him visiting with us.
God bless you all tonight. It's good to be with you all. How are you all doing tonight? Hey, man, forgive me if my voice is a little gone. I was up at the camp with Brother Hoover. And we stayed up pretty late the last night, and they had me singing quite a bit there, so forgive me if my voice is gone. They asked me to sing tonight, and I was thinking about which song I should sing, and I just began to think about pressing on for the higher calling of my Lord. And I was looking at a quote here, and Brother Branham said, this is to take on the whole armor of God. Brother Branham said, when God gave Israel Palestine, when he was in Egypt, but they had to fight for every inch of it. And he told Joshua in Joshua 1, he said, whenever the soles of your foot treads, wherever your sole of your foot treads upon, that I have given you. So footprints means possession. See, just keep walking, walking, pressing on. And every time you take a step into the kingdom of God, that's yours. Just on. And all things are possible that's given. And all things are given that's possible. But it's a battle. And I just want to encourage you tonight to just keep pressing the battle with all your heart. Keep serving the Lord with all your might, because it will be worth everything. And the song that I'm going to be singing is over on page 315. The last verse is just something that gets me every time. It says, when we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. And Brother Nathan, one day when we get to heaven, it'll be worth it all. All those times of setting up those chairs in the old building, all those times of getting the sound system just right. But when we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, we're all going to shout and welcome and march in, because we kept on that firing line. So sing this song with me. I love you all tonight. I think it's in the key of F is what we'll sing.
Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many days.
Bless you all tonight.
God bless you, Brother Will. Sure appreciate that. Amen. Brother Will doesn't know that. We tried that this morning, but boy, if I'd known he was going to sing it, I don't know if I'd have gave it the effort that I gave it, but he sure has a gift. We sure appreciate him. I have a special visitor here tonight. I've got my younger brother here. I gave him the 10-minute notice before service, so if Brother Andrew would come sing for us, that'd be great. Right. Amen.
Cover me, and it's only
Lord, cover me. Oh, peace of God, cover me through the storm. Won't you cover me? And it's only in you I am safe. Oh,
sure appreciate that. Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. Well, I was planning on Brother Nathan taking over, so let's just sing this little song here, and I'll have Brother Nathan to come. We'll start with the chorus. Oh, where do I go?
Aren't you thankful that you have a place that you can run into? Amen. A shelter in the time of the storm. Amen. Well, I hate that the meetings are coming to a close, but it's been a wonderful time in the Lord together. The Bible study Thursday night for the youth, and youth service on Friday, and service this morning. Looking forward with anticipation as to what the Lord has for us this evening as well. Amen. Just going to invite Brother Danny if he would come at this time and just open up to us whatever the Lord's laid on his heart, and you pull on the gift. And if you have a specific need, we know we've seen it time and time and time again. God can take a minister. Maybe he's got a plan and a note and all these things headed down this direction. God, just take that man, pull him right over here and say, this person needs this and this person needs this. So, amen. We still believe that God works in the supernatural. So, he's a supernatural God. Jesus told the woman at the well there, he said, there's coming a time when the people will worship me in spirit and in truth. So we thank God for both the spirit and the truth. Amen. God bless you. As he comes, let's sing this song tonight. Brother Danny may not know it, but we're going to try it. I had it on my heart this morning when he was preaching. Amen. This is truly how I feel. Oh, Lord, I'm determined. Oh, to keep on believing. And though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Oh, for I'm fully persuaded of this word, and I'm standing. So by the grace of God, I'll keep on believing. Oh, Lord, I'm determined. Is that your testimony tonight? Oh, I'll keep on believing. Lord, even though others fall away, I'll keep on, oh, receiving. For I'm fully persuaded of your word. Sing it again together. Oh, Lord, I'm determined just to keep on believing. And though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Lord, for I'm fully persuaded of your word.
Right, I didn't know the song. Amen, but I sure enjoyed it. Amen. It's wonderful. I understand you wrote it. God bless you. Amen. We appreciate all the songs that have been written by believers in the time we live in. Amen. Relevant. Amen. All, you know, I believe all inspired songs are relevant as far as that goes, and we appreciate them all, but it's just good to see that the gifts that rise up in the local body. And amen. Brother Will, we appreciate you and your singing, and the songs are encouragement to the bride. And you know, you can never, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, but never underestimate the importance of just the encouragement of one soul. Amen. One soul is worth 10,000 worlds. We have a lot of worth in here this evening that God has come to and is dealing with. And many times the devil wants us to think of us like we're trash and we're no good, and you can't make it. Amen. But God has a seed that can't be stopped. You know, a brother sent me a picture the other day. He's a plumber, and he'd come to fix a problem that was underneath the kitchen sink, and he showed me a vine that had grown up from underneath the house, come through the slab, come through the tile, and had got just a little bit of light coming through the cabinets and was growing all the way up in that kind of environment. And if there that kind of determination in that seed to express itself, then God will have an expression in this hour. Amen. And I'm looking at it, you know, and I have human... Let's just read the Bible. All right, because, you know, it's like we might as well start getting timed officially. Amen. I just want... You know, I appreciate Brother Nathan because he allows me to be Brother Danny, you know, or Danny. You know, we don't have to put on airs and so I appreciate him as a brother and a friend. And thank you for everything that you and your wife have done for us. And just as you as a family of God, we love you. Me and my wife have just really felt at home and tired. And we appreciate that. It's a good tired, though. And you know, we just sure look forward to the time where we will all be together. It's coming.
Amen.
That's why we're here. And it'll be worth it all. Amen. No matter how old the story gets, there will be a physical return. How many believe that?
Amen.
That's what our prophet said in the message, Three Kinds of Believers. He says, and that's what believers believe. We're believers.
Amen.
Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. Maybe this will seem just a little bit different to you this evening, the way we go. But I want to title this evening, The Bondage of a Bruise. The bondage of a bruise. Luke 4, the 14th verse, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Amen.
And they all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and said, is not this Joseph's son? You can be seated. The Lord bless the reading of his word. We certainly live in perilous times. We live in, truly as it can be said, the hardest time, the hardest climate that there's ever been to be a Christian. Paul called it perilous times. Amen. He said the love of many would wax cold. Said that be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, yet they would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He spoke of men creeping into the houses of silly women. Amen. The Bible tells us this hour they'd be blind, poor, wretched, naked, and wouldn't know it. But yet in all of that weakness and wickedness, we also understand, amen, according to the scripture, that in this hour there would be a spirit of heaviness. Amen. There'd be a spirit of mourning. Is that true? There'd be desolations of many generations. And this is what, amen, it can be so hard for people, because many cannot overcome what they've come out of and what they've experienced and what they've went through. And many people's experiences become excuses instead of stepping stones, and excuses that we use to not grow in the Lord, and we use to stay in an attitude, and we use to stay in the environment that we're in instead of moving out in faith and being led by the Spirit of God. The Scripture says sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Listen, if that's an anointing that's been released in this hour, it is to be led by His Spirit. I want to be led by His Spirit. I don't want to be under a complex. I don't want to be. Listen, we can have the truth. We can be that. We can have the right word, and we can be in the wrong climate. Amen. We have to come into the right attitude. Listen, we flew up here, right? But it took men, amen, that had the right materials, and they started in their bicycle shops, Wilbur and Orville Wright, and they started in their bicycle shop. They had right material, but they was in the wrong place. Amen. And they had to find, they were studiers of trends and winds. And so they found this place. Listen, nobody, none of us would know of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, unless it had been two men who'd studied trends. And they found that it was a place of a prevailing wind constantly coming. It was a right wind. And they had to come into a place where they could fly. Amen. And there's many, they set in a place and they have the right materials, but amen, the climate's wrong. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. Well, we're just going to preach this. As the Lord laid it upon my heart. Some people get the wrong impression of what the anointing is. The prophet said, did you ever think of that? He said, when the greatest anointing ever given to anyone, and what did they do when they had the anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. One day He entered into the temple and He picked up the scroll and read and said, the Spirit of God is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the acceptable year, to bind up the broken hearts, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind. And it could have been just another morning. Just another day. Maybe like this, kind of hot. People looking at Him, just maybe kind of like you're looking at me. You understand? I'm not taking the place of Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about the atmosphere that it was in. They'd been that way for hundreds of years. Amen. Nazareth was not a great place. It was a dry place. It didn't look like the place of anything being fulfilled. But here come Jesus to this place. And He takes the scroll from the priest and He hands it back to him after he reads it, finds a place it's written, and He goes and sits down, and all the eyes of the people are upon Him. And He said, this day this scripture's fulfilled in your ears. And they wondered at the gracious words. And I ask you the question, was the moment not big enough for them to see it? What were they expecting for the scriptures of the Messiah, for it to be fulfilled? What were they expecting it to be like? Because it was being fulfilled. And it was right before their eyes, their deliverance. And they just looked at it. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And the Spirit that anointed Herod's men rose up in these men. These people, and they tried to throw Him off a cliff, but he walked through them because it wasn't His time. If it had been His time, they would have destroyed Him there. But what was it? They failed to recognize the moment of deliverance because it was not significant enough. Maybe they were tired and sweaty and watching. But the moment. Maybe they hadn't sung enough. Maybe they'd ate too much. Well, come on, somebody help me. Hey, you want to fall asleep, you go right ahead. But if you want to go faster, say amen. It'll help me. It'll oil the brackets. You understand? The moment was not significant enough for them. And yet here's a man with the greatest anointing that could be upon them. And they're saying, isn't this Joseph's son? And here was the supernatural solution to the recovering of the sight.
Amen.
to the releasing of the captive. We no doubt we got captives in here tonight. We got people that are bruised. We got people laboring under things that's happened in their families. I'm a pastor. We deal with them. I'm dealing with them right now. I'm dealing with a young man who just snapped. I talked to him Wednesday night and tried to deal with him, and he snapped. He snapped mentally. Oh, he's in a horrible place. What is it? Pressure. Things in the family that are coming out and manifesting themselves. We carry hurts. We carry things. And here we are with the greatest message that's ever struck the earth. And we're bruised. And we're discouraged. Amen. The greatest enemy of revelation, discouragement. Amen. But this is also the hour. He said, I'll give you the oil of joy. Amen. For the spirit of heaviness. There is a counter pressure. There's a counter product. And there's an anointing here that you can reach out and accept it, but you've got to recognize his presence. It's more than a minister. It's more than Joseph's son. This is the fulfilling of the word. And you say, amen. But it takes you to believe it. Amen. He said, we would think with that type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him, we would want to run all over the building, scream and holler. But the Bible said he laid down the scroll. He set it down. He sat down, and precious words proceeded from his mouth. That's what he done under the anointing. The anointing is not emotions. The anointing is supreme power in control. Amen. I've seen many people say, I've been delivered under emotion. But a week later, they're back under the same thing. But this anointing is the anointing of supreme power under control. God bringing it right to the target and setting the people free. Amen. Now, we are careful to look at how exact and perfect the scripture is. The Holy Spirit is here. For when we see that when Jesus reads the scripture, and notice Luke puts it, he's not only quoting Isaiah 61, but he's also quoting Isaiah 42:7. And Jesus, he stops in the middle of the verse because that was the position he was fulfilling at that time. And the last part of this, bringing judgment, is referring to his second coming in the hour that we're living in now. And in the hour where the oil of joy is given for the spirit of heaviness, where the wasted and the desolation of many generations is built back up. Now, amen, we understand that he's come and he's coming for this releasing. He's announcing it's a jubilee year. It's the freedom from debt. It's the freedom from bondage. And Jesus is saying he'd come for this specific work. And that's what he's anointed for. You see, Jesus was outside the box. He wasn't somebody that you could say he's going to work this way, and then we'll know who he is. But he worked different ways. Many, when he was dealing with sicknesses and devils, amen, many times he treated each one different according to the person he was dealing with. Right. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is saying, this is what I'm anointed for. And as we follow this anointing and we see how the Holy Spirit directed him, it was strange to the people because it was contrary to the way they'd been taught and the way they had learned. They thought they needed a general, but they needed a savior. They thought they were saved and they didn't know they were lost. And there's nobody can be saved until they know they're lost. God don't have any grandchildren. Amen. You're saved because you met God in a personal experience and he spoke to you and you spoke to him and he changed you. There's nobody in here exempt from that. You must be changed. You can't just sit in the message home and say, I've got it. You have to meet him. How many believe that? We're not Baptists where you just believe and you're saved. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? It's the things that become lost is how to meet him. So they didn't realize they were lost. They thought they were saved. And the bondage of what they had learned was a burden they couldn't bear. Jesus told the Pharisees that you bind burdens upon the people that they themselves cannot bear. We saw that in the way they approached that little woman in John, the 8th chapter, who had been caught in adultery. They knew that woman's habits. They knew where to find her. And they brought her to Jesus specifically. They cared not for the woman. Because to them it wasn't about the woman. It was about Jesus. They were going to trap Jesus. But Jesus wasn't about the Pharisees. He was about the woman. Amen. Amen. You understand that. God is not here, amen, to satisfy the critical spirits. God is not here to try to, amen, point out, amen, well, they're trying to find out where this is right or this is wrong and trying to prove this and trying. God's not here for that purpose. He's here for that woman. Amen. Here they are trying to trap a man who they think is a man, but it's the very man who wrote the law. The very man who anointed Moses. And they think they're going to trap him in what Moses said. Oh, brother Moses said that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And Jesus could have said, where's the guy that done it? Why haven't you brought him today? You want me to judge her? Is he your buddy? Did you set him up? Did you slip him some coin? Because you're not here for her. You're here to trap me. You care not for the people. You only care to prove the word wrong. Amen. But our Lord Jesus knows how to deal with the bruised. He knows how to deal with the brokenhearted, even in the midst of the critical ones. That's who I'm dealing for tonight. That's who I'm fighting for tonight. Not to those who are looking to see if you're an inch off this way or an inch off that way, or if there's something wrong here or something wrong there, but for that soul that's been trapped and they don't know how to get out. God's interested in you. God's interested in the drug addict. Amen. He's interested in those that don't have the strength to live it. He's interested in the discouraged. What's the enemy of encouragement? Discouragement. That's an easy one. Amen. He's the enemy of your faith. He's here to kill. He's here to steal. He's here to rob. Have you ever been in a good meeting and God has given you great things and you've been rejoicing in it and Monday comes? And everything you had achieved is robbed because he's a robber. And God wants you to know that his word is true and his deliverance is here. And he's here tonight to release you, to you, your desires you have in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Here's this woman caught in adultery. They're willing to destroy her as long as it traps him. They cared not for her life. Amen. And we see that anointing directed Jesus to this specific work. Amen. To challenge them where they stood. Said, you without sin. Amen. You cast the first stone. And each one of them began to be convicted. Amen. No doubt in their own power they'd have never been convicted. But the presence of Jesus was there. The judge himself was there. And it convicted them. And from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and walked away. And he turned and looked at her and just said this phrase, where are your accusers? You see, because God is interested in dealing with the accuser of the brethren. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is for.
That's good, Brother Danny.
We've heard that before. Get us excited. See, that's your problem. Amen. You got to understand that the presence of God is present. Amen. And as you begin to create that atmosphere, it could be one bruise in here that he's going to set free. One something that somebody's lived under for a long time. Something happened in your family. Listen, we're dealing with abused people. We're dealing with things that a human cannot put it back together. We're dealing with children that never had a chance. They didn't become drug addicts. They were born drug addicts. They never had a chance. We say, well, we know what it's like. You know, you don't know what it's like. But God knows what it's like. Can I get real personal with you? I mean, the Bible says he was touched in every point. Amen. He's a high priest who is touched in every point. speaking up, a pastor gave a testimony to us one time, and he was telling us he was dealing with a situation in the church where one of the brothers, a married brother in the church, was having an affair with a denominational man. Two men having an affair. One was a message man and one was a denominational man. What made them different? And they spent hours and hours and dollars upon counseling, trying to get help, trying to be delivered, and nothing would work. Amen. That's captivity. Amen. And one day the brother in the church, he calls the pastor, begins to talk to him, and he's telling him, he says, "You don't know what it's like to be tempted by homosexuality." He told him, he says, "Well," he says, "you're right." He said, "I don't know what it's like." And he said, the Spirit of the Lord whispered in his ear. He says, "You tell him, I know what it's like." When he told me that, the hair stood up on the back of my head. Because here's the Spirit of the Lord coming down a channel that nobody expected him to come down. But he's here to deliver, amen, those that are in captive. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord spoke the right word and has spoken through that pastor to that man, amen, the screaming and the crying stopped. Silence fell upon the phone. And then the man began to weep, and God delivered the man. And then he went and delivered the denominational man. What, the right word at the right place, at the right situation, would deliver the lowest. That's what the gospel's all about. Amen. It's coming to that seed. It's coming to that redeemable. And that redeemable seed is in some pretty dark places. Amen. You think you understand the grace of God? You don't understand the grace of God. Amen. That man got up and testified before the church. He said, "We spent hours and hours in the psychologist's office, but 5 minutes talking to the pastor, we were delivered." Amen. What is it? The right words, the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's here to deliver the brokenhearted. The denominational man went to his church and confessed too. And they were set free. But it was because God came down and identified himself with where that man was at. And it set him free. He didn't become a partaker of it. He identified himself. When Jesus came, it was not a man announcing a different view of theology. But it was the announcement of the arrival. The scene has changed. And the interpretation came in the form of the person of Jesus Christ. "I am here to fulfill the prophets. I am the fulfillment." What an announcement. Amen. He could say, "I am God's mercy to you. I am what you've been able. I am what you have not been able to see made flesh. I am what you have wondered about made flesh before you. You've longed for freedom. I am that freedom." There are doctrines of resurrection. The Pharisees had their doctrines. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. The Pharisees had many different doctrines of resurrection. But when Jesus came, he presented the resurrection a different way. He never said the resurrection is this or the resurrection is that. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." It was a different view of resurrection. Amen. And when he was speaking to Martha and her brothers laying in the grave, and they thought that if Jesus had come, when they had asked him to come, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now. Yes. Amen. Amen. What if some believer in here would begin to say that? Even now. Amen. You know, I thought when the opportunity was right, it would happen, but it didn't seem. But even now, I believe it. It's not too late for you. Amen. And she spoke, and Brother Branham said, when two omnipotents meet, something's got to happen. In her was a seed of God, and Jesus was God. And when they came together, it had to produce a result. Amen. And he said, amen. He says, "Your brother shall rise again." I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. Amen. And amen. See, we can have the right doctrine. We can sit here and understand it. Amen. But there's a life of it that must be expressed. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amen. He turned to them and he said, roll away the stone. Oh, but Lord, now hold on just a minute. We appreciate the sermon, but this is going to get dirty. My brother's been dead 4 days and he smells. Hold on a minute. You're weeping and you're mourning for him. I ask you to move the stone and you're worried about the smell. There's many people pray for their lost loved ones. Amen. But the smell is great. But God wants you to be used, amen, to roll away the hindrance, amen, because he's bringing them forth. It'll be God that brings them forth, but you move the hindrance away so that they can come forth. Amen. Can you imagine? We would have woke up. Wouldn't we? Everybody from the youngest to the oldest in here would have had, they'd have been at full attention. Amen. Their eyes would be upon that cave there. It said Jesus gathered himself. A little bitty man gathered himself before that cave and he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. I'm pretty sure he yelled that one. I was preaching one time in Russia and there's a little old sister sitting back there and I was getting a little loud and she sat there the whole time while I preached. Whole time. And I got a note afterwards. Because you know that's what we do. We need to help the preachers. And we need help. That's true. Amen. And she says, why are you so loud? Jesus was not loud. I said, well, how do you know?
Were you there?
You see, we have all these ideas of how Jesus is. And when he comes, he never fits our ideas. He steps out of the mold and he acts in a way that you didn't think he would. You know, that's why the Pharisees never could get, they could never trap him. They tried to get him this way. They even came on the Sabbath to see if he would heal somebody. Because they knew he had a tendency to do it. There's something when Jesus comes, he has. Have we forgot those things? Amen. There's something when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. Amen. Jesus breaks every fetter. There's something when he comes. Amen. The situation changed. Amen. Your vision begins to clear up. Well, we got some tough situations. Amen. But grace is sovereign. And here's the thing about the bondage of a bruise. You can't see it. For many, you can't see it because it's covered. And you don't know it's there. And there's people, they walk for years with this bruise in their life. That a bruise can become a cancer, begin to spread. And Brother Branham gave that about that woman who said about that dream where she'd been in white sand. But now they're in a dark place and now her children are with her. Brother Branham, she says, what is it, Brother Branham? What should we do? Have we sinned? What should we do? Brother Branham interpreted the dream. He said, showing you were in white sand, showing there was nothing wrong. But now you're in a dark place. That dark place was her gloominess, the depression. And then it began to affect her son and his wife and their children. And he said, don't do that. He said, children, encourage your parents. You see, because it spreads. You know, we can have a parent, we can have somebody, maybe some form of abuse or something like that, and affect you, and affect your mind, and affect the way you live and the way you make decisions, and pretty soon it affect your wife, then it affect your children. And it's all because of a bruise that's not seen. But it happened, a blow or something took place to cause that bruise. Satan's out to cause you to do that. He's out to hit you as hard as he can. He's looking. Brother Bam says, he studies you and we should study him. Because Satan watches your strategy with the word. He watches how you use the word. He watches to see if you really believe it. You say, Brother Danny, I listened to 10 tapes yesterday. I'm going to listen to 20 tomorrow. And he says, so what? Have you seen my uppercut?
Right. Come on.
Just in the moment, you're putting that tape in that. Well, it's not a tape anymore. Whatever you're pushing. Just as you're reaching out, here it comes. Amen. He comes in the time you don't think. He's a roaring lion. He's a serpent. He's adaptable. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Paul said, when I would do good, then evil is present. He comes in a way, in a bruise. I dealt with a couple one time. He's having extreme marital problems. Amen. And they wanted to come and receive some counseling. So I brought them in the office. They were so wound up with one another, they wouldn't look at one another. So when they sat down, I mean, we're saying, me and Bill are husband and wife. You'll be the woman. Yeah. And turn that way, brother. Just kind of shift yourself. Amen. This is she. This is me. And so I sat right there, and they don't. Yeah. And they sat like this, and they wouldn't look at one another. They had their back to, and they sat like that, and they wouldn't look. And so when I started to talk to him, and he would say, well, she does this, and she does that, and she would say, I think she had the color on too. Hey, man. And she would. See, if I didn't love him, amen. And she would, and they would just, it was just accusation after accusation. I ask you, in an atmosphere like that, how's anything going to get done? If I can prove how what a worthless one cow wife you are, and I should have chopped that one in half. And what good does that do for you know, okay, I'm going to tell him how bad you are, and then we're going to get it figured out. Yeah, right. They probably brought a gun in their bag or something. It ain't going to work. You understand? Something's got to change. And I looked at them, and it went on. They said their pieces, and they just kept going on. And you and I aren't going to do what I told them to do. I looked at them, and I said, listen, hallelujah. We're not in that church. Amen. And so I told them, I said, listen, there is nothing going to happen in a meeting like this. Nothing is going to be settled as long as all you do is throw out accusation against one another. First of all, you're not even looking at one another. I said, let's change things up. I said, turn, get close to one another, and look at one another and hold hands. So that took a while. You know, when you're dealing with two people that are angry with one another, and you try to get them to reconcile, to hold hands, you say, it's an act of God. Well, we got there. They begin to, good. And they begin to hold hands. And they looked at one another, and I told him, I said, now you tell me the best thing you can think about her. Say it. That took a while too. To get there. And he's looking. I remember clear as day. He's looking. He's looking up like his. He's looking like that. He's looking. Don't laugh. Then he finally said, she bakes good cookies. She had to start. He had to start somewhere. And then he progressed from cookies to something else and said what he liked about her. And then I had her do the same thing. She began to say, and I remember clear as day, when they began to talk nice about one another, the whole atmosphere began to move. You know, as long as there was Western music playing and these tumbleweeds rolling through there and they're walking their 10 paces, nothing's going to be solved. You got to change the rhythm to Amazing Grace instead of down. Oh, you think that ain't real? Amen. That's why some of our kids are always depressed and everything. They're into country music and all of these things, and they're into things on the internet that keeps them pulled down, and they're sitting coming to church and they're trying to get a reprieve on, and nothing's happening because, amen, they're saturated in an environment that's keeping them discouraged. And brother, as I spoke to them, the Spirit of the Lord dropped down and I stood up and I said, you know what? I don't have to do anything else. I'll go out and you guys finish it. You know, see, when the supernatural solution comes in, because there's some things you can't figure out how to get it done. But the atmosphere's got to change. The way you think about that person's got to change. The way you talk about that person's got to change. Then God can come. Are you with me? Me and my wife had a minister friend way back when, before we were married. Still a friend today, but this brother was unmarried, and he claimed that God had told him that he was going to marry such and such a girl. He said God had told him. Well, the problem with that was God hadn't told her. God had told him. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And it never worked out. So the man left the message, said, God failed me. Quit preaching. Good man. I went to visit him. He's laying up in his room, and the atmosphere was so gloomy, so dark. And I stood at the doorway, and he looked at me, and he says, God didn't keep his word to me. Well, I went for a ride with him in his car. He turned on the radio. He had it set to a country music station. First song that come on was, down, 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 there's a tear in my beer. And you're saying God failed you. And you're saturating yourself in spirits of depression and discouragement and loss and robbery and adultery. And you think you're going to overcome and you're going to blame God? But it's a bruise. It's something people need deliverance from. And Jesus walks in an hour you don't think and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Hey, the grace of God is sovereign, and it'll come in your hardest moments and speak to you in your darkest time. And when you didn't think it, when you thought it was all over, do you know why so many things rise up in people's life? Why so many people follow all kinds of strange doctrines? Because they're dissatisfied with the barrenness in their life, and they're trying to fill it up with something. And when we do that, when we quit fighting, we are a candidate for the enemy to come in. The Bible tells us about David at the time when the kings went out to war. David stayed back at the palace. And he sent Joab and them out, and they fought and they won great battles. But David stayed back home when he should have been fighting. Paul told Timothy, he said, my son Timothy, war by the prophecies that have went before upon thee. We have been given the word to go to war with. To be a sword against the enemy. How many can say amen? Amen? Amen. That's one thing the enemy can't cross over is the word of God. He can quote it to you. He can mix it up. He can pull it away. He can try to shed some false light. But he cannot bring it word by word by word. And Jesus showed us at his weakest moment. Amen. He did not use his power. He only used the word to show the weakest Christian in this church of the open door tabernacle can take the word and it's Satan would be defeated. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. Well, I believe it. It's true. Jesus at his weakest moment is enough to save a soul. Jesus on the cross at his weakest moment, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And still brought salvation to the thief that was hanging there. And the only word he had was, amen, Jesus, the King of the Jews. And he believed it and was saved. And Satan tries to tell you that he has power. No, all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. That means we're fighting a foe that's already been defeated. We're fighting a foe that if you choose to believe Jesus Christ tonight, he can't hold you. Amen. You see, Brother Danny, you ought to be given more message terms. I'll respond better. I'm preaching the message to you. This is the message of deliverance. That's why Brother Branham came. Amen. To show God that a people had forgot about. That Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Still gives the Holy Ghost. Still sets a captive free. We pastors face an age we've never seen before. We face a time that's never been before on the face of the earth. It's called the internet age. Amen. The web, the World Wide Web. And David got caught in the web. When he should have been fighting, he's back home. And he walks out upon his top of his house in the evening time. And Satan pulled him to the edge. And he looks and sees something he shouldn't be looking at. And he invites it into his, he invites her into his home. And he falls in adultery. Amen. And she conceives. Oh my, now the king's got problems. He should have been at war. You know what Satan wants to do? He just wants to wound somebody because it causes a lot of attention. Amen. In the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong said we'd rather shoot to wound than to kill. Because it occupied more men to take care of the wounded than it did the dead. Daniel, who's brave tonight? Anybody brave? Poor Zion. You're almost too big. Come here. Sorry, Dad. Lay down. Lay down. He's wounded. You know, and it's hard. You ever done this before? Yeah. Sorry, Mama. We're breaking all molds here. See you in the rapture. See, it's hard now because I got to do this one-handed because I don't even have a time mic. So I'm going to use you. You come here, Nathan. Come here. Amen. Brother Bill, you come and support Nathan. Because he does need help. Amen. Thank God for these little things. Amen. Now you come over here and you're going to hold this because you're going to help me because I can't hold it myself. It maybe takes two of you to hold it. Okay, see now, here I got a wounded man in the church. And you know, what we try to do is we try to help him. But the problem of it is, you know, I've got to always, you know, you're wounded so you can't even help me. So I got to try to get him, come to church and invite him. Oh, man. All right.
Come on.
I'm like, hey, God loves you. Don't you know that? Come on, man. Show some energy. At least say amen once in a while. I told you I should have picked a youngin'. And you know, half the service, I'm trying to get him to church.
All right.
Good Lord, that person. Oh, he showed some life. He didn't want to hurt. He's just visual support. But you see the energy it took for me. And this is what happens spiritually. When these spirits, goodness, I'm either getting older or even big. I think it's both of them. Spiritually, it takes up all the energy of the pastor in the ministry to try to deal with a situation and drag this fella. Come on, can't you get in? When it's our energy always putting him in the pew, and it's our energy always setting him there. We quit now. It don't work. You know, when we were young, we were babies. Brother Bram said to somebody, it took people, you had to, you know, the baby tried to walk and he falls and he stumbles and he falls around and you're trying to dress and it's all over the place and it takes energy. You want to watch every mother in here come alive. Let their little one take off. It's a revival. It's a mother's revival. Unless they don't care. I'm just trying to get my breath back. Amen. But when they mature, amen, you don't have to always pick them up. And they just, you know, you don't even have to think about walking. You're just walking. I'm not sitting here saying, man, where's the devil? What's he going to do? And I tripped over him. You know, just walk because I've grown up. You know, when we're always falling and we always have to be dragged and our spirits are always discouraged and amen, and Furman sings 20 songs to try to get you in the attitude of the next song. And then the preacher comes out and he struggles half the service because there's a fog of unbelief. And it's not that it's your fault, but it's that we have an enemy that's against us. Brother Branham described those demons. They said they're like standing there cold and indifferent. Amen. And they're trying to get you to disbelieve. But what about if the children of God begin to be encouraged and they begin to say amen to the word of God, and it begins to gather strength and people begin to rise up and God begins to work in their life, and that sinner that wasn't even thinking about, all of a sudden something comes into his mind. Said, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Why, we have the example of David, who David became so blinded with lust and sin and envy, amen, that he took one when he had all of these women in his palace. Amen. And when her husband refused his command to go to his house, instead said, I can't do it. Why, the soldiers are on the battlefield. What a soldier. Said, God forbid me I go to my home and enjoy the comforts of home when my brothers are out on the field fighting. And David despaired, so he sent a letter, sent him up to the hottest portion, said, when the battle gets strong, you just pull back and leave him there. Amen. And he killed him by the sword of the enemy. But God never forgot it. Why had Satan had brought this bruise upon David's life? Why did he attack David so much? Because David was the anointed one. And God had said that front, he's my firstborn. And he said that the seed of David would be the one that would sit upon the throne. My. And Satan attacked it. Amen. And here comes a prophet, Nathan, into David. Begins to tell him a parable about a man who had many sheep and one who had only one. And the man who had many, the rich man, he took, amen, for a party, and he took the one. He took the one and brought it for himself and killed that one. He said, what should be done to that man? Oh my, the righteous indignation of David rose up and says, that man should die. He knew the quotes of Moses. He knew what it said. That man should die. But that's when grace stepped in. Because grace is sovereign. And it don't have to ask anybody in this room for permission to do what he's going to do. Amen. He don't have to ask mine. He don't have to ask yours. It stepped in. And Brother Bam said, and Nathan's eyes narrowed down, says, you shall not die. Amen. What did the grace of God do? It brought Nathan to a place of repentance. Amen. What does the word of God do? Amen. It holds that spirit back from you so you can recognize God in his mercy and reach out and accept it. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says about Jesus, he came up as one out of a root out of a dry ground. The vision came up out of a place where it didn't look like it would come up from. Right. Amen. Oh, God loves, amen, to prove the enemy wrong. Even Nathanael said, when Philip told him, said, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. He come up out of a place it didn't look like he would come up out of. That's what my God does. He's bringing to pass the vision through people that it didn't look like they could come from it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Joseph was given a vision of his rulership, and he began to testify to his brothers about the message that had been given to him. And it caused his brothers, who were already envious of his position with his father, and it caused them, amen, to be angry. Said, we're going to bow down to you. That's a joke. He even told his dad, and his dad didn't understand the vision. I and your mother going to bow down to you? But he pondered it. And when he sent him out to his brothers at the age of 17, amen, to bring him food and so forth, they saw him coming and said, let's kill him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. And in their heart, they were going to kill him, but when the brother pled for his life, they threw him in the pit. I tell you, God doesn't tell you everything about a vision. And it looked like, amen, where is the vision going to be fulfilled now? How is this part of the vision? But the very things God didn't tell him about are the things that gave him the character to fulfill it. And maybe you wonder at the pits in your life and wonder, why is this happening to me? And here's Joseph in a pit looking up, and his brother's laughing at him and selling him. But it was God giving him the character to test the vision. Do you really believe the word? Are you going to stay with it when everything else has come against you? Amen. You heard the prophet how he said, amen, he knew it had to come to pass. He studied the vision and he knew it. And from each level, each step, when he went to the house of Potiphar, and there he is. Now he's elevated to the steward of the home, and everything in the home is under him except Potiphar's wife. And then she tries to entice him. And now he's tested on his job. And there's many get tested on the job, and they compromise with the word for the sake of the job. But Joseph had the vision before him. We spoke to you young ones about, amen, Proverbs 7. You remember that? That was only a couple days ago. You remember that? Praise the Lord. The bondage of a bruise. Amen. And that young man went the way of where that woman was. And he didn't know it till he was struck in the liver with the dart. The Bible says her way is the way of hell, the house of hell, and so forth. And here's Joseph in the same situation. She pressed him and said, come lie with me. He said, I can't do it. Your husband trusts me. Here he is presented. He's presented as a slave. He's presented with an opportunity of an affair. And Joseph used his discernment. And his discernment was his feet. People say, well, I don't have discernment. How many have feet? You can at least walk out of the situation you're in. Amen. You can walk out of it and you see that it's the wrong thing. Get out of there. Amen. Joseph ran for his life. He lost his job, but the vision came to pass. God working on the character. Do you believe it? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. When we speak about the vision coming up out of the dry places, God's fulfilling the vision. But he's fulfilling it through people that we didn't realize he would fulfill it through. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. It's like Brother Branham, I mean, you're all familiar. I know you're all familiar with the story of the caribou, the 42-inch horns, and the grizzly bear, and everything else. And he goes up there and he kills that caribou, and they're coming back. And Brother Branham says, but we're going to kill that grizzly bear too. Brother Bud said, but Brother Branham, where's he going to be? He says, I don't know, but God said he'd be there. He said, but Brother Branham, we can see all the way to camp. There's no bear. He says, you doubting, Bud? He says, no, sir. I'm not doubting. I've seen too much of God, what he can do. Amen. They got closer to the camp, and all of a sudden, Brother Branham says, what's that, Bud? Where did the bear come from? The vision rose right up out of the ground. Amen. And here you are thinking, how's it going to happen? But the God that could raise up a grizzly bear out of the ground can raise up the vision right out of your life. And he's doing it tonight by people agreeing with the word and walking in step with the gospel. Amen. Amen. He's here to release the bruised. And I'm just going to close with this. This Lord just brought this simple thought to me. But we could go much more in depth. But you got to accept that presence when he's here in order to be set free from it. Brother Bram said he is here to release to you your desires in him. Well, how many, maybe something happened in your family. Something happened in your past. As a pastor, you deal with those situations where people sit there and constantly use, well, you don't know what it's like, and you don't know what I've went through, and you don't know that. And that's the truth. I'm not them. But he does. He knows. And he wants the people to stop using the past as their excuse to be a failure. To live in resentment and unforgiving spirits. But to walk out and accept what God is doing and say, I accept my day of deliverance. I refuse, amen, to be in bondage to what my parents were. Hey, as Brother Bram talked about his family tree, listen, I don't know if there's anybody in here proud enough of their family tree to stand up and testify and say how great it is. Is that right? You got a good family tree, brother? How about you? At least brag on your dad. Okay. He's good. But Brother Bram said, I can't brag on my family tree. I can't brag on my family tree. And there's things they've given me I wished I never had. But he said, I realized I wasn't the son of Charles and Ella Branham. That's where you've got to begin to step into and begin to realize the family tree that's here is I have a goodly heritage. Can you imagine Jesus Christ as he's coming to the cross and he's relying upon the words of a backslidden prophet? I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Here's David who's committed adultery. And a prophet had to come in and save his life. Amen. And the sword that was in his family and the things that had went wrong. Amen. And Satan's whispering in Jesus' ears. He committed adultery. He was a murderer. How do you know those words were inspired? But he relied upon them.
Amen.
And God tested those words and those words held true. I tell you, they still hold true this evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The power of that moment of Calvary was enough to strike down every devil that would ever assault you in this hour. Every devil of hell that would torment your mind, because that's what he is. He's a tormentor and he's constantly there trying to torment you and tell you you're not worthy of this. You're lost there. Your life, look at what it is. Let me tell you, there's nobody come to this message worthy, but he has made us worthy by the blood of the Lamb. That's what we accept and that's what we step in. My mama wasn't worthy. My daddy wasn't worthy. Let me tell you, Brother Branham wasn't worthy, but he is worthy. Weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book. We can step into that this evening and be totally free. Why live in the past? Why not live right here? Amen. Let the deliverer deliver. How many want that? Say, that's me. Maybe there's something in your life that, amen, you haven't been willing to just let go, but now you're willing to let it go tonight. A bruise, something somebody else can't see, but it's there. And you know what a bruise does? It keeps your attention. Satan keeps hitting you in the same place. Pretty soon you're covering up. And pretty soon all you're doing is thinking about trying to protect that place. But that's why God sends the ministry to speak to those places. Because Jesus Christ wants to come to those dark places and let you walk out completely whole.
Amen.
When Jesus went to the man at the pool, Siloam, I believe it was, and here he is, he says, what will you want me to do for you? Will you be made whole? You know, that's what he comes to us in a service like this, and he asks you, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be free? And if you respond yes, then he says, all right, take up your bed and walk. Take up that thing you've been laying on. Don't leave it there because somebody else will lay in it. You get up and take it with you. Amen. Don't leave it in church, please, because we sure don't need anybody else in church to lay in it. You just take it on out. Take the family history out. Take out the pity party. Take it all out of the church. Clean it up. And now let's come back and walk right. Amen. You say, Brother Dan, don't talk about pity because that's kind of stepping on my toes. Well, then let's step on them really hard so you can get over it. Amen. Brother Bram said he got caught up in that complex. He got self-pitied. And that self-pity was he didn't think he could be made whole. He said, but one day I heard an eagle scream. That eagle scream was F.F. Bosworth's Christian Confession. And that Christian confession told him how a Christian should confess. You say, well, confession is, I'm sorry, Lord, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. There's more to a Christian confession than everything negative. Amen. Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. Amen. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. By his stripes you are healed. Amen. The iniquity of us all have laid upon him. These are positive confessions. He wants us to believe his word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that self-pity is? It's a spirit of infirmity. I can't be free. Amen. God wants to heal that bruise, that anger, that thing that lays there. It hinders your relationship with the Lord. There's many fine-looking Christians, but underneath that layer, there's a bruise. And he says, don't you want to be made free? I come to you in that spirit. The anointing is upon me, for he has anointed me to set the captive free. Oh, isn't this Joseph's son? This is just another meeting. This is Sunday night. Oh, the spirit of Jubilee is still here. Amen, to set you free. Lord, I know you can heal me of my leprosy if you will. He said, I will. That simple, I will. Lord, you know, could you say something else? Couldn't it be a little bit more dramatic? Couldn't you at least add another quote? He said, I will. What more do you want? Old Naaman, he came up there. Amen. He made that journey down to Elisha's house. He come out with his train. He stands out there. And Elisha don't even come out to say, how you doing? Sends out his servant. He says, hey, you go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. You'll be made whole. And he got mad. You know, I thought the service would be a little bit different than him talking about a muddy river over here. We got better rivers over there in Syria. Clearer water. Better healing properties in them. More healthy for you. And I thought at least he would come out and smite the place. I thought. A lot of times we come in with preconceived ideas. That takes a lot of dragging around a Zion around the church to try to get them to the place to finally say, listen, they don't need to drag you everywhere and smite the place over and over and over and over. All you got to do is obey the word and watch it come to pass. Amen. And when his servants begin to minister to him saying, listen, if he'd have told you to do this, some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? But all he's asked you is to go dip yourself in that river. Why don't you go try it out? Amen. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. You know, why don't you just go try it? Yeah, right. Amen. You say, well, Brother Branham, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And Brother Branham says, well, try again. Yeah. You know what happened? He came up after the 7th time and his skin was like a child. It's because he obeyed the word. Amen. Don't you want to be free? Yes. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to whom he knows. And he wants you to be free to worship him, free from that regret, free from that fear, free from those things that's held you bound, and step out into the liberty of Jesus Christ and not be under the bondage of a bruise, but be a prisoner to the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Amen. Bible says in Isaiah, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. You believe his angel of his presence is here this evening? Then with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many have a bruise that they want to give to him? I just want to give it to the Lord. I don't want to wrestle with that anymore. Covered anymore, the hurt, the pain. You know, there's a supernatural solution here. It's called the presence of Jesus Christ, the balm in Gilead. Well, I know what it's like when a bruise comes into your life, and the enemy, he wants to just keep your mind tormented with the thinking of it. Every time you'd sit down and get quiet, he would try to come in with these thoughts. And he wants you to stand up, and he wants you to defend yourself. He wants you to go to war. He wants you to become bitter. No, God just wants you to give all that to him. Become soft in his presence and let him deal with you. Then let him bring healing to the wound. The places of unforgiveness can become a place of water flowing of his spirit. Lord Jesus, take these simple thoughts this evening. Many have raised their hand, said, I've been bruised. Well, there's not a soldier that hasn't been bruised.
at one time or another. There isn't a soldier that hadn't been punched, that hadn't been hit. Amen. But you've given us the word. Amen. That's able to keep us. They've raised their hands and said, Lord, I believe I'm in your presence. I need that touch. Will you heal them tonight, Lord? May the forgiveness begin tonight, Father. May the renewal of the strength. Amen. The garment of praise replace the spirit of heaviness. Change the language. Change the thinking. May it become thinking and language that honors you, Lord. And don't look to the hurt, but look to the healing. You're faithful, God. Lord, to speak of a bondage of a bruise is not to put anybody down. It's a fact of life and of war. Amen. And you knew we would. And you put it in your word for us so that we can be free. This is the hour of Jubilee. And while mercy is flowing, they've raised their hands and said, help me, Lord. Then, Father, they reach out and touch you tonight. As you're passing by, and we thank you for it. And we believe it, Lord. Amen. We say amen to it, Father. Lord, I think of Brother Branham as he dealt with that girl who had been haunted by the spirit that followed her. And she'd been scared by a dog when she was a little girl, and then it followed her down. And Lord, as the conditions worsened and stomach trouble and depression and all of these things laid upon her, she'd come before the prophet. He discerned the problem and he told her she was delivered. He said, but he's going to come back. He said, but here's what I want you to do. He said, never have a frown on your face. Sing praise songs to him all day long. And he said, he'll never come back again. Here's the thing, what he said after that, Lord, is he said, how would I know that unless he told me? And then, Father, we want to follow that pattern. We don't want to fall in the pattern of self-pity and sulking, Lord, and hurt. But, Lord, we want to walk uprightly. We don't want to be somebody who has to be dragged around the church half the service, Lord, and try to recover the spirit. But, Lord, we come and support and, Lord, nourish and help and pull. Pray you're granted. Bless this assembly, Lord. We love them, Father. We thank you, Lord, for their testimony and their love and their hospitality. And I pray, Lord, as they go from these meetings, they have partook and take with them something eternal. Something of eternal value, Lord. And they can look back and say, I know he touched me there. Thank you for it, Lord. Bless Brother Nathan, Sister Rebecca. Encourage them, Father, I pray. Bless this assembly, the officers of the church, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and will do. And we commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Reach out. As he goes by, oh, you will find he's not
touch from him tonight. Why don't you just reach out in his presence here? Oh, reach out. Touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy. Oh, he'll hear you. Oh, whatever. whatever the cry is tonight, He is passing by this moment. Your needs He'll supply. Reach out, touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. You believe He's here for your needs? Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother Danny titled it the Bondage of a Bruise. I think we would have called it Spiritual Abuse Part 13, Brother Hoover, but amen, went right along with kind of the direction that the Lord has been taking us down, and certainly appreciated it tonight. It was very needful, very helpful. If it didn't help anybody else, it helped me. So, amen, I trust that it helped you as well. And amen, we don't want somebody to have to drag us around, pull us into a presence, but we should be able to recognize, I like the way Brother Danny stated it. He said, the presence of God is present. We just have to recognize that it's present. Brother Branham said, preached the sermon, he said, the presence of God unrecognized. And if we could recognize it, you know, sometimes we come into church and we think, oh goodness, presence of the Lord was so wonderful there tonight, so marvelous. He's here every service. It's just sometimes we get pulled up into a place where we can recognize it and open our eyes and see that He's here. But He promised, whether you feel Him here or not, whether you feel like running the aisles, whether you feel like shouting, where you feel like raising your hands, He's here anyhow. No matter what you feel, sometimes I recognize sometimes we feel His presence more tangibly than others, but whether we feel it or not, He's here because He promised in His Word He would be. Wherever two or three are gathered in My name, He said, I'll be in their midst. So, I know that may have been a shock to you, the story that He told there, the way that the Holy Spirit laid it upon the pastor's heart. And maybe that stumbled you a little bit. But I wanted to go back. I don't like to preach behind a preacher, but Brother Danny just makes it so hard not to, because he brings out some wonderful things. And now I know how Brother Trevor feels when he's sitting back there going, tag me in, brother, tag me in. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, St. Paul says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, not just the ones that make us comfortable, not just the one that everybody talks about and that is okay, but in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And we can be tempted and it can lead to sin, but He was tempted in all those manners, but yet without sinning. But if the devil was going to try to stumble anybody, if the devil was going to try to upset and hinder anybody's ministry, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to throw everything. Brother Branham said, we all have one punch coming, that one weak spot that maybe you deal with, that maybe you feel like, well, nobody else deals with this but me. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's lust, maybe it's temper, maybe it's pride, maybe it's stubbornness, whatever it would be. You know yourself better than anybody else. You know that area that you're constantly struggling with and having to pray through about. But when it was the Lord Jesus, Satan didn't just throw one dart at Him. He threw everything at Him that he could. He said, I'm going to wipe Him off the map somehow. But yet Jesus could face all those things so that He could be the right kind of high priest for us, that no matter what Satan threw at us, he couldn't say, well, I don't know what that's like. You're just on your own. But He could say, I know I've been tempted that way, but yet I was an overcomer. I know I was tempted that way, yet without sin, so that He could succor those that had needs and that had temptations. Tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So verse 16 doesn't stop there, but it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, many times as we was talking this morning after Brother Danny spoke, you know, Satan will get on our shoulder and say, you're not worth anything. As he was talking about how the woman was an eight cow, he felt like she was worth eight cows, you know. Sometimes Satan will tell us we're not worth anything, and so then we approach the throne of God and we think, well, Lord, I know I don't deserve this, and none of us deserve it if we want to get right down to it, but yet because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of His righteousness, we can come before the throne of grace boldly. Amen. Knowing that, Lord, I'm going through this battle. I'm going through this darkness. I'm going through this valley. But I know, Lord, that You've went through the valley before me, that You know all about it, that you know the outcome. You know how it's going to be. You know the plan for my life. And you already knew about it before I walked into this darkness. And you know when I'm going to come out of the darkness. You've got your hand on me. And you know all about it. And you know what it's like to go through it. He already is, as I think I referred to the other day, the Collingsworth family sings that song, "Fear Not Tomorrow." God's already there. God's already looked down through time. He's seen all of it. He looked out through eternity before time had even started. And he saw the end and he saw the beginning and he knew what it would be. Nothing has shocked him. No presidential election has shocked him. No war has shocked him. Nobody's sinning or backsliding or stumbling has shocked him. He knew it was going to happen and he had already provided a way of escape. The question is, can we reach up our hand and accept the way of escape? Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been wonderful to be in your presence again tonight. We thank you for these services this weekend. Lord, no doubt there are many that are dealing with bruises in their life, Lord, dealing with places where they've had hurts, Lord. Maybe some of them from a child, maybe they've been made fun of or ridiculed or persecuted. Maybe they were bullied at school or maybe they were looked down upon by their family. Maybe they were an outcast at their church, whatever it would be, Father. Maybe some of these things they've dealt with from a little child or from a teenager or a young adult, and it's constantly just something that those old scars and scabs begin to get picked at, and they have a hard time having confidence in other people because they're constantly looking behind them in their past. But Father, Lord, may you grant deliverance tonight. Lord, may you grant victory over some of these things, Lord. Maybe some of them are fresh wounds. Maybe somebody's done something to them. Maybe somebody's hurt them or their family. Maybe somebody has persecuted them, or maybe somebody's done them wrong. But Father, Lord, may your Holy Spirit just come. May there be a balm of Gilead tonight that'll just put a little ointment on those wounds, Father, or just bring a peace that passes understanding. Lord, as Brother Danny was speaking this morning and he asked us the question, said, how are you still standing when you don't have the strength to stand anymore? Lord, there's been so many times. Lord, each one of us no doubt can look back through our life and recognize there were so many times when we couldn't stand anymore on our own. But Lord, yet you stepped in, you held us. Lord, even when we fell, you came in, you picked us back up and you helped us to go on. Oh, we love you, Father. We thank you for those moments of mercy and grace. Lord, when we couldn't go on any further, you picked us up and you carried us. Lord, you took us to the end and you began to give us some ointment and bandage us up and heal our wounds, Father. Lord, we recognize the prophet taught us that end is the church, and yet so many times people scared to even come by the end for some ointment and healing. But Lord, we thank you for a place, Father, not just this place, but all around the world, little inns popping up here and there where people can come by and get some healing, some eye salve and some balm of Gilead to heal their wounds. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that comes and does the work. Oh, Lord, the prophet said that at that end, the man told him to give him, he gave him 2 pence to help him and pay for what it was that they had need of. And he said that represented the spirit and the truth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we still have it for our needs, Lord. Thank you for overcoming power through the revelation of the word, not a head knowledge, Lord, but something that the Holy Spirit quickens to us. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for all these that are gathered in your midst tonight. Thank you for your presence again, Lord. And Lord, may you just be with each one as we go our separate ways, Father. May you just bless each one, protect each one, protect each family. Lord, if there's any sick in our midst, may you heal them. If there's any needs tonight, Lord, may you just come on the scene in a supernatural way and grant deliverance and victory. Lord, bless each one. Bless each church, Lord, that's represented here tonight. Lord, some from Georgia, some from over in Louisville, some from all over, Lord, different places that people have traveled to, Sarasota, different places, Father. May you bless those assemblies, Lord Jesus. May you bless the people there. Give them strength. Give them victory, Father. Lord, may you bless the leadership of the churches. Bless the musicians. Bless, Lord, the Sunday school teachers. Each one, Father, we recognize in this age when the enemy is trying to come in like a flood everywhere that he can, Lord, we need men and women of God to stand up and hold up a banner, Lord, and be there to be a help to somebody, to teach the young children in the Sunday schools and to encourage the discouraged and to reach out and pray for somebody and be a help to somebody. Lord, may it not just be here, but but all around the world, Father, may you raise up individuals. Lord, if time tarries and some of us brothers begin to pass off the scene, Lord, and there's another generation, some of these young people that Brother Danny's been preaching to this weekend, Lord, that may you just instill something in them, Father, to where they'll be able to pick up the sword and continue to go, Father. We love you, Father. We're trusting in you. We're depending on you, Father. We have nowhere else to turn or no other place to go but to you, Father. Lord, we can't depend on ourselves or our own ability or our own intelligence. Lord, we're depending on you tonight. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. We love you in the Lord. If you can't tell, I don't know what it is when I have guest ministers in. I usually wind up blowing out my voice, and then when I'm preaching, I don't hardly ever blow out my voice. But my voice is about shot, but I'm going to ask Brother Furman to come and help me sing this tonight. Amen. We sang it this morning, but I feel led to sing it again. I believe it should be something that you don't come to an altar and do it once, but it's a daily thing that we need to do. Oh, take up your cross and follow.
Blessed us with this weekend and just not be amazed at his love. Let's just get that little chorus. Are you amazed tonight by God? Isn't he great?
Oh, I'm amazed.
Yes, Lord.
That you love me. I'm so amazed how you care. It's through your precious blood I found. Oh,
once more. Just tell him you love him. We love you, Jesus. You're amazing, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. Oh, my Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Yes, my Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Oh, Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Yes, He's the King. Of peace, yes, He's the Lord.
Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Yes, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Oh, Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Oh, Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King. Spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. Born for this valley, yes, you were born. To the ground, just mount up with me, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you can spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born. To the ground, just bounce up with me. God bless you, saints. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. You can be dismissed and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you weren't born. To the ground, mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You were born. Get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. All hail King Jesus. Thank you. said he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, our bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise him.
Touch my heart, you change.